You're listening to LGRadio.online. Welcome to In Conversation with Van Morrison. This is part five of our series, and we've been hearing all about Van's career, how he writes songs, and his thoughts on the recording industry generally. Welcome along.
You can take all the tea and shine, put it in a big brown bag for me. Hopping straight into the deep blue sea, because Jesus, sweet as simple old heart, he's an angel, angel of the first degree. Jesus, sweet as simple old heart, just like honey.
In our last episode of In Conversation, Van was explaining to us some of the different songwriting techniques he was employing in the 60s.
I was writing these songs, you know, throughout this period, but they didn't make it on the albums because, you know, they were more like about all this stuff we're talking about now. So what ended up on the album was very idealistic, you know. And actually, I'm putting a compilation together of a lot of my songs that are about the reality of all this on one or two CDs, to show the juxtaposition of, you know, the idealism and the actual reality. Yeah. So I was writing idealistic songs, and they were more or less coming out on the albums, but the real life story and the real business story and the real story was entirely different than what was on the albums, you know. For some reason, it was easy for me to write a certain kind of idealistic song. And that's what they wanted, you know, that's what people wanted, right, during that time period. And I was going along with it, you know what I mean? Because I had to eat, I was starving, I needed money, right? Yeah. So I was going along with this. But it wasn't what was happening in reality, you understand? But that's what people were relating to then. Idealism, the 60s and early 70s was all this idealism, you know? And so that was the kind of stuff, it was easy for me to write that kind of material, because that came out of writing the sort of material that, say, I was writing during the Burt Burns period, because that's where I learned to write songs. I learned to write songs from listening to, you know, this kind of material, which was like usually like so, right? And they were usually chord structures, were like, you know, Wilson Pickett, Bobby Womack, Solomon Burke. I mean, you know, these kind of chord structures. That's where I learned to write songs. So these kind of love song things were easy for me. It was easy for me to do that, because that's how I learned to write songs. But the other stuff, like there's a song called Why Must I Always Explain? And that's pretty much the story of my life.
If you told the night, I've got to make the most. Standing on the outside, then I'm waiting in the rain. Tell me why I must I always explain. Bear my soul to the crowd, but oh, what the cost. Hometown they left out loud, like nothing's been lost. Hypocrites and parasites, and people that just drain. Tell me why I must I always explain. Why must I always explain? Over and 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 over. It's just my job, you know. It's not meant to be sweet Lorraine. Tell me why I must I always explain. Da, 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 da. Once there's always somebody to see. Never turn out to be who they wanted me to be. But I have to pay the piper time and time and time again. Telling me why must I always explain. Well, I sat on the highway in a song with a show. Telling people things they don't really even want to know. Make you crazy, drive you insane. Telling me why must I always explain? Why must I always explain? Over and over again. It's just my job, you know. It's not meant to be sweet Lorraine. Telling me why must I always explain? Why must I always explain?
Why must I always explain? You know, so it's all in there, and it's also it's in loads of other songs throughout the years that I was still writing alongside the idealistic stuff. I was writing the other stuff as well. But it's just that people didn't want to, they don't want to know about that because they don't want to know about reality. Yeah, they want escapism and they want fantasy and mythology and all this. And so I had to buy into the mythology because I didn't have a choice at the time. Whereas now I do have a choice, so I can do what I want. Then it was also the kind of times and the propaganda, you know. It's like, you know, I knew more about me and my music and what I wanted to do and, you know, who I was and what I was doing than they did, right? But it's just, but there's always these people that, you know, convince you they know better, you know. So I was dealing with people where I had done, I mean, I'd been through several wars already. And they hadn't, you know, and they thought it was all, everything was great, you know, it's all, you know, you just do B, C, D, and, you know, it's all, you know what I mean, and selling you all this kind of, and you know better, and you go like, no, that's not the way it is, that's, you know, I don't do that, you know what I mean, like, yeah. This is what I do.
Yeah.
So I was, like, against the tide, you know. When I was in Woodstock, there was a place that I used to jam, and these guys I knew, and a couple of acoustic guitars, and I was jamming in this club in Woodstock, and I was doing skiffle stuff, and they never heard of skiffle, but basically skiffle was American folk music that was retranslated, so they sort of vaguely knew, you know, the song material. I was doing, you know, basically the Lonnie Donegan kind of songbook thing, and there was an old song I used to do, skiffle song called Down by the Riverside, you know. And going, study war no more, study war no more, and those kind of things. So I noticed there was this guy standing in the back, like glaring at me at the back, you know. And when I came off the small stand, you know, I came off and, you know, this guy came up to me and he said, the tide is against you. A couple of days later, bang, I got it, you know. He thought I was protesting Vietnam. So that was the kind of climate, you know what I mean? There was this kind of, all this hippie, idealistic stuff going on. But really, underneath all that, America was like, still at war, and you know that wasn't how it really was. So the hippie thing was like a kind of a idealism mythology, and so the music thing was kind of brought into this mythological kind of thing, you know what I'm saying, with the hippie movement and all this stuff, you know. And so, but I mean, it was like kind of like buying, you know, Welcome to America kind of thing. And then I remember going out to San Francisco on Fillmore West, and it said on there was graffiti on the wall of the dressing room. It said, America, love it or leave it. Okay, I got it. So that's really what it was all about. It was all this hippie stuff, was, you know, putting acid in the water or something, you know what I mean? Everybody was kind of caught up in this myth, you know? But then it perpetuated. And so later on, you're stuck with it. Sticks to you, you know, but it wasn't reality, you know what I mean? What reality was like was this struggle for survival in this environment. Being in the music business, or any business for that matter, I mean, it's a struggle for survival. But where they make it out to be, you know, I mean, I don't know these people, but I mean, Rod Stewart looks like he's having a great time all the time. You know what I mean? So, I mean, but, you know, I'm somewhere else, you know. I don't fit into whatever that is or whatever. I don't fit into it. I don't know what that is. I actually don't even know what it is. It's alien to me, or I'm alien to it, you know. So I see myself as more like coming out of this, the kind of jazz blues kind of background. And that's what I'm, that's what I came out of. I came out of that background, you know? Yeah.
I greet that joyous sound whenever we meet, whenever we meet. I greet that joyous sound whenever we meet again. Oh, I thank you for it, well, whenever we meet, whenever we meet.
So your creative process with regards songwriting isn't really different now from, say, compared to around the time of Astral Weeks?
It's no different. It's the Astral Weeks thing was more of a unique situation because, God, it was like written and rewritten over like years. I think one of the first songs I started writing, one of the first songs was Ballerina, which I started writing in 1966 when I was living in Notting Hill Gate. And that was like the first draft of it, and then I forgot about it. And then later on when I was in California, I remembered it, so I started working on it again. So that was still 1966. That was one of the, so from 66, 67, 68, over that period, it was like writing and rewriting these songs all the time. Yeah. And I had like a reel-to-reel tape recorder. And I was like, you know, doing just me and the guitar, various versions and various lyrics and changing the lyrics. And there was other lyrics that didn't get on that because it was limited time-wise and song-wise. So it became like focused down into, you know, editing the thing down into something that was like, what they wanted was 40 minutes basically,
yeah.
20 minutes a side, I think it was, or 22 minutes a side kind of thing.
Spread your wings. Come on, fly wild, straight to my arms, oh, little angel child. You know you're only lonely 22. Story block, and that somebody, not just anybody, wanted to get close to you. For instance, me, baby, all you gotta do is ring the bell. Step right up, step right up, and step right up, ballerina.
I may be wrong. But something deep in my heart tells me I'm right, and I don't think so. You know, just like a ballerina, stepping lightly. All right, well, it's getting late. Yes, it is, yes, it is.
From Van's Astral Weeks album. And that concludes this episode of In Conversation here on LGRadio.online with me, Leo Green, where my very special guest has been Van Morrison. Please do check the website out, LGRadio.online, to find out when once again we'll be in conversation with Van Morrison. This is LGRadio.online. Thanks for listening.